Watson Hall presents. Amazing Adventures, The Mask of Ehtil. With Nick Marsh as the Game Master.
Well,
stick a leg out because you're trying to compensate for not having a tail as well.
I was going to make a genital licking joke, but I decided not to.
Oh, Jesus, that goes small.
He's just let Mark do it for you.
Yeah, yeah. He's done the job for me there. Well, this is a very cinematic comeback. Now, I'm going to ask, it's going to be difficult, guys, but this is a game where you're playing sort of archetypes and quite shallow characters. So I want you to consider all the depth and nuance that you usually put into your characters and maybe just dial back from that a little bit, because we're very four-colour characters here. I think you guys can do it, but I'm relying on you.
Ow! I feel a stabbing pain in my motivation.
What would James Wallace say?
Not a lot. He's
you're
dead.
Round. I lost the laptop. Sorry.
Just because I've got him as a stouty, quite short man, I think your round is a little bit personal.
By we, I mean the camera that brings us to this exciting game is moving slowly through the underground growth of a jungle. In the background, we're hearing jungly noises like... You know, fill in further jungle noises.
Drums,
as you
drives updating.
Got the gear.
You see, there we are, dialing back our best performances, and he goes and interrupts with some personal thing.
Mm-hmm. Drums, trombone, saxophone.
Do we need to actually mention who we are, or do you think he's got that?
I don't think we're in
the intro. Right. This camera is still occasionally swinging round, but I have managed to turn off the feature that followed every movement of my face. It
looks as if you're being unusually attentive about tweaking it to follow your face, but not robotically so the way it was the first time.
Yeah,
I might do that if I hadn't noticed how much it annoyed people. I could see myself doing this. I was just saying it's much more within the tolerances of, you know, what I would expect somebody to do, and therefore it doesn't distract me in the same way.
The other one certainly caught me out. It is apparently something called center stage, and it crops up in the camera on the phone and in FaceTime and all sorts. This is the continuity camera, and for some reason it crops up in here as well, despite it being absolutely effing annoying.
Is that like the continuity IRA?
Apparently, I've just been approved for Sam's Club. I suspect that might be a junk email appearing in answer to your question. Yeah, it's probably something like that, yeah. It's an odd choice.
Oh, you bastards.
Everyone had a good Christmas? Yeah. I missed all that, I'm afraid. I didn't miss all the Christmas. I missed whether you'd all had a good Christmas.
No, it was all right. Very quiet. We're not doing anything for New Year, which is
the one thing I've done that's involving effort at all was Boxing Day board games last Friday. That's just traditional thing.
I saw your post. Yeah,
nothing horrendous has happened.
No, that's really good.
Despite being in the jungle.
The camera moves slowly through the
undergrounds.
The underground and the underpants to...
Which has been cut away by the Protectron.
to reveal an ancient Mayan temple in a clearing. And as we move closer to the temple, there is a slithering reptile in front of the temple, which turns and launches directly at the camera with its mouth open, and then emerging from the mouth in bright, dynamic letters, in other words, Amazing Adventures! And underneath, The Curse of Y'till. Y-H-T-I-L-L. Starring. And then I'd like a brief kind of opening credits vignette from each of you describing your character and the sort of thing they're doing in the opening credits of a cheesy Raiders of the Lost Ark 80s knockoff action adventure show.
So you're thinking more Tales of the Gold Monkey kind of thing?
That kind, rather than a big budget Hollywood. To be honest, my budget doesn't stretch to a full-blown Hollywood production, so we're going to be a cheesy 80s knockoff.
Yeah, maybe almost a Doc Savage Man of Bronze beginning bit, but not quite as good as that.
What was the really crap one with Bruce Boxleitner that was like something?
Bring Him Back Alive.
Bring Him Back Alive. Think that sort of level of budget.
That was actually about the life of Frank Buck. I mean, that was not, you know, entirely this kind of pulpy thing. It was mostly bollocks, obviously.
It was. I mean, it may have been about
Frank Buck.
It did
a lot of what I'm expecting here of people sort of appearing in the credits and then going...
It's exactly that kind of... You don't have to do the smile if you don't. You can be the one that kind of frowns. Particularly if you're the baddie.
Oh, no,
if
no,
you
no
want.
I'm very,
I think Sydney
very affable.
So, starring, and then we have who's up first in our vignette? Who's top billing?
Oh, all right, I got one.
I'm very much a sporting character.
Ken Holmes, he's in the trench coat with the hat, he's walking down the street, left hand, sucks for a bottle of whiskey, right hand, punches a bad guy, left hand, scoops up a dame, gives her a kiss, tosses her into the gutter.
Wow.
That's a pretty succinct character
description.
That
is, yeah. That covers a lot of things, yep.
Wow.
There's
Sydney.
Probably a plane in there somewhere as well, but you know.
Well, that'll be in bit. Oh, this is your little character bit, but then... Yeah, maybe there's a plane in the background. Maybe it's on a runway that this is happening.
A wet runway.
Yeah.
A wet runway.
It's got to be raining. The plane in the background is populated by midgets. Yeah, anyway.
Sydney Fossick.
The camera is looking at what is probably an English country garden, although the plants look a little bit Southern Californian. And there's a fairly large garden shed sort of shaking slightly, and then there's a huge cloud of white smoke as the door flies open and comes off one hinge, and middle-aged
bag comes out.
Fairly short man, he's only about 5'8", with a grey beard and bald, comes out waving his hands as he emerges from the... There's smoke and the occasional flash and spark behind him. He takes out a large red handkerchief and mops his brow and takes his glasses off. He's just got his shirt sleeves, waistcoat and trousers. He's not wearing his jacket. And he just rubs away at the glasses and then pulls the handkerchief through one of them where the lens has obviously gone awry and just sort of looks and turns to the camera as Sydney Fossick appears on the screen.
Very good. And introducing...
Oh, and there's obviously a dame that he's just discarded... No, he hasn't.
That's not really Sydney stuff. Maybe a duck. Hashtag Loranta. Actually, Shim will get the end introducing next time because he's not here.
So mine is, it's dark. It's rainy. There's a bad guy who is holding up a young couple. And the camera picks up the fact that there's somebody else walking into the alley. The bad guy turns, draws a gun, but makes eye contact.
Too late.
And the gun is dropped. And the bad guy punches himself and falls over. And the couple look at each other, look back, but there's nobody there at the end of the alley.
Oh, I thought the penguin was going to hypnotise the audience.
No.
Very good.
And it is Penfold White, a.k.a.
Penguin Dick. Oh, sorry, yeah, the penguin.
Not Penguin Dick, we've talked about this.
Okay, we go through the rest of the various adventures with the three of you, jumping over pits, swinging over pits.
I'd say steady on, this is what? Absolute nonsense.
And rolling under pits, it's very pit heavy. They've got one pit to use in the film.
Well, Gramercy, as a great world once said, is a harsh mistress.
Then we fade in to a beautiful young, sort of, well, young to us, sort of mid-30s, lady in a classy apartment, in bed, tossing and turning. And we sort of zoom in on her face and suddenly we're in her dream. She is on a beach. She looks younger there. She looks even more beautiful than she does asleep. She's with a young man who she's saying, "Oh, Martin, what a wonderful day." They are frolicking in the froth, the foam that has emerged from the sea, that's kind of seeped out of the ocean. You know, there's water at the edge of the sea.
You live by the bloody coast. You must have seen it. Just describe it.
That's it. Well, there we are. So they're doing a kind of From Here to Eternity / Airplane run through the foam. And then the sky goes dark. And dark clouds sort of roll in kind of a quick sort of stop motion fashion. And suddenly in the clouds, there's kind of a vortex of different colours, kind of blues and greens, reds.
Fantastic voyage journey.
Yes. Yeah, that kind of
journey.
Fantastic
voyage is the miniature submarine.
Fantastic journey is
the one where they go up his arse, isn't it?
No. Fantastic journey. Fantastic journey is the one is set in the Bermuda Triangle.
Oh, okay. All right. Anyway.
Why do they call it Fantastic Voyage and not Inside Job?
Well, Inner Space was... Oh, yeah, everyone hated Inner Space.
I liked Inner Space.
Well, because it was crap.
No!
I thought it was
It was cheesy crap, though.
I must have seen it
yeah,
the right...
That's not the recommendation you may think it is.
Maybe that's my Condor Man, I don't know. I really enjoy it.
Maybe it's like Ishtar, you know.
Could be. We'll find out. Or will we? Out of the vortex emerges a dark face, kind of Middle Eastern, but with no nose and no ears. And it's grinning, so it looks kind of like a leathery skull. It swoops down upon the couple in the froth. And she
this
screams.
Is from the clouds? Is it like
yeah, it's come out of like... It's like a giant face. But as it sort of goes down, it gets sort of smaller and smaller. But it's still like level of a kind of like an elephant's abdominal cavity by the time it hits
an
them.
A barguri right. Almost.
Very, very interesting, Mr. Moneybags. Tell me more about your feelings for your brother.
And she screams and wakes up screaming. And she sits up in bed, wearing obviously the kind of bedclothes that will cover anything that we don't have a certificate for. She's in a
good old-fashioned burlap nightdress.
Yeah, when is
she struggles to sit up because she's wrapped in a carpet.
When is this set? Because we're not pre-code.
It's set 1935, but I think it's kind of ancient.
I realised doing some reading about this, there was that glorious 6 months or so between the end of Prohibition and the start of the code, and that's where you get the thin man.
Yeah. It didn't slow him down that much for the other thin men. That's a good film. She's breathing heavily. She leans over to her husband. "What a strange dream, Martin. You won't..." And then she stops. Because Martin is not there. She looks across to the study door and sees the light still oozing under the...
Oozing what?
Kind of producing out of the door. From under the door.
There's a light. Actually looked around.
There's a light under the on the other side of the door.
Excellent.
Yeah. Yes, okay. Excellent. And light is coming through into her room. So she gets up and knocks on the door. Martin, she says in her New York accent.
Martin,
Lord of New York.
You've got to milk the sheep, Martin. Come on,
come on, my lover.
You promised you'd be in bed soon, Martin. It's nearly, it's three. And as she taps on the door, it swings open. The room is a shambles. The desk is covered in notes and scribblings. The camera sort of pans in on these nonsensical doodles of like they're not like cock doodles, they're like kind of strange symbols and peculiar glyphs. The window is open and she looks out. His car is gone. Quite how you show that visually, I guess you show the absence of a car. I guess, yep, she says
if she's looking down and the street lights on, you know, and there's no car.
And she holds a face to her hands. And then we cut to the Club Cayman, the swankiest tiki bar in all of New York.
In 1935.
Well, it's
just a thought, actually. Does anyone else find it surprising that we've never just discovered a big cock and balls in Egyptian hieroglyphics?
I mean, the Romans did it all the time. The Egyptians were much
all over
more
the world. It's like the universal language. And yet the Egyptians...
The Greeks were very artistic about it. In fact, my mum and dad got my son a Greek history book from a charity shop, because he's very interested in Greek history, and had the most explicit postcard in it that they hadn't noticed, but we managed to find it before
the comedy bookmark, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder if someone put that in, slipped it in deliberately, so to speak, which is very much what was happening in the, on the postcard.
And, of course, there are all those tuckers from Pompeii.
So
this is probably not going to be a tiki bar. Pre-war, but never mind.
No, well, it's a Caribbean themed nightclub. Everyone's drinking away merrily because it's been 2 years since the end of Prohibition, I guess 33, wasn't it? So people can now drink cocktails without going blind. I think cocktails were originally invented in Prohibition to disguise the hideous taste of the alcohol. Well, so yep. I read somewhere.
That's why some of them look like meringues and taste of shampoo, but apparently that's fine.
The concept is earlier, but yeah, that's the golden age of them, definitely.
That was it, wasn't it? And the three of you are in Club Cayman. I think you're probably celebrating a recent successful adventure, but it's up to you why you're there. You do know each other, and you have... Mm-hmm. Adventured, for want of a better term, before for various things, but
your character's name other than the Penguin was what?
Is Penfold White?
Penfold, thanks.
So Penfold, are you like a kind of Bruce Wayne socialite type character?
I am rich.
So you're probably the one with the ticket. Bruce Wayne's definitely
no,
not.
I am
on the right.
I am wealthy. Wealth is one of my class skills.
So you basically can come in. So it's there's a large dance floor. There's a big bar, and it has, despite not being actually a tiki bar, it has got kind of fringed.
There's girls wandering around in grass skirts and much else. And
if you want tropical themes and all that, that's the thing. That has been certainly since the teens.
Yes, so
it's the whole tiki thing that only really got going with American
Service. Club Tropical.
The orchestra is fully equipped with ukuleles.
No, there will be a ukulele soloist, but there will, you know, there's a full orchestra. It's that kind
of... It's a high-class establishment. It has a ukulele soloist. With ukuleles, that usually means you play to an audience of yourself.
It's a comedy act to warm the So you've been there. It's the place to be and mingle with the come uppers, the up and comers of New York society.
Back down before they start getting any ideas.
Well, it's a good place to pick up from a gumshoe. From Ken's perspective, it's a good place to pick up any high class gossip, and Sydney probably just dragged along because otherwise he'll burn the house down.
Again,
I do have my own house, you know, probably, or a flat or something. I've got the address written somewhere.
Yeah, they just don't want to burn it down again.
I'm usually working on a few things, so you know, occasionally accommodation is provided if they've not worked with me before.
Well, you are a friendly chap. You're quite happy to go out for a party.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm. So here we are, the heart of New York. So somewhere on Manhattan, I guess. What are you up to? What are you celebrating? Are you celebrating?
That moment when he was standing there and suddenly needed to scratch behind his ear. And that was his downfall.
That's what clued you in, was it? Or was that when you need him in the bollocks?
He won't try that on a Zeppelin again.
Very nice.
Do you realise that it is 2 years since the two of you... Actually, no, when was Prohibition?
33 ended. I'm not sure when.
So it's 35 now, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so... I reckon that I probably drank the wrong sort of gin just a couple of weeks before the end of Prohibition. So,
and that's what turned you into a penguin.
And that's what gave me my strange, uncanny powers.
Ah, yes. I look up from the cocktail umbrella, several pieces of string, a few toothpicks, a fork, and an elastic band that I'm working with at the moment, as I wind the fork around the rubber band. Yes, we really must look into that, find out what the extent of them is. Ugh! At which point an umbrella suddenly starts spinning and then goes flying off across the room.
On fire.
Mm-hmm. Well, the camera...
They usually only catch fire after they crash.
Our camera really pans away from our heroes to follow the camera, which flies off into the... follow the umbrella. Which flies off onto the dance floor where a...
Picturing all these cameramen suddenly realising they're not the only one in the room. So, the hell are you filming?
Flies off onto the dance floor and lands on the ground where it is trodden on by a quick tapping young buck, decked out in tops and toes, topped out in
evening dress. Out.
He's in an evening dress.
What time?
No, not an evening dress. I don't think it's that sort of club.
Very different
evening dress. Yes, he's in a tuxedo, I guess, because we're in New York.
So black tie.
Yeah, black tie. No, it's not quite posh enough for white.
Well, no,
unless
I'm
you're
wearing,
a waiter,
I'm
in which case you would be wearing a white tie, but not with the same gear.
You can wear white tie, but he's
in
them.
I'm wearing white tie because, and I'm put it this way, I'm
wearing tweed.
I look like I'm completely out of place in this club because I'm overdressed for the club.
Mm. Well, between us, we're probably average out. Somebody has to be dressed for this club.
On average, you are.
So Penfold is more the sort of person who's. He wears evening dress, but he also wears the silk pumps with buckles. He goes the proper...
The full Gatsby.
Thing, does he?
He is basically...
Soup to fish kind of thing.
Oh, God, yes. He very much so. And he comes across as a right Nancy Ponce.
You're going all Scarlet Pimpernel for this character, are you?
Sort of. Basically, yeah. Okay. I mean, the idea is that...
Scarlet Penguin.
Yeah. The idea that he's very much a larger-than-life...
Black and white and red all over. That's the answer. That's Scarlet Penguin.
Curse you! they've worked out my alias.
The man in the evening dress is dancing around in a fun kind of, I don't know, 1935 fashionable dance, which I'm not up to date with, I'm afraid. Possibly the bumblebee, we'll call it.
It's a bit after my time, in all honesty.
Yeah, unfortunately, not much better with 20.
If they were doing the black bottom or the...
Well, say the Charleston. It's that kind of high-tempo, fun, zany dance. And the camera pans around to reveal the person he's dancing with is the lady we saw earlier on who woke in the night.
Right.
She is... she's got slightly puffy eyes. And she is... It's sort of not quite in the same dancing spirit as him. But he's kind of jollier on. And then he suddenly screams... and collapses to the floor.
She screams.
He does.
He screams.
He
right.
puts his hand to his neck and screams and collapses to the floor. We'll pan back to our heroes who hear the scream from the dance floor.
Obviously, there's a very traumatic situation going on here, and there is.
I've hit someone with the umbrella, haven't I?
There is one thing that needs to be done. Mind if I cut in?
Very nice. I'm going to give you a fate point for that. That is very appropriate kind of quip. So you can have a fate point. We'll talk about what fate points are, but they're basically re-rolls and things like that. But that was very period appropriate. I may be too overzealous with the fate points, but I feel like...
Well, then you'll tear all away from me later when I'm relying on them. That's fine. That's what I'm used to.
Yep. There is chaos on the dance floor. It's going to take Roger some... despite the excellent quip, it's going to take some sort of force of personality or something. How are you going to sort of cut through it all?
Is this what, panicking people or...?
People screaming, running, suddenly nobody's quite sure what's happened. You can see through the crowd, the man is on the floor.
Can we see the man on the floor?
Yes, he's on the floor. I mean, it's hard to see. There's so many people around, there's waiters heading in that direction as well. But he's on the floor.
Do we get just a clear moment of just looking at him? And more importantly, where he's holding onto his neck and there is a dart in his neck.
Well, you don't see that, but he... well, now he's on the floor.
I'm seriously. Can we look across and see that? If I need to use a fate point for that, I will blow a fate point for that.
I think that's fair. That it's too far away to see the dart. Because it's very... But there is... He does collapse to his
blood,
neck.
Perhaps, it between does, the fingers?
There is a trickle of blood. I like that. Because you guys have been to Peru. You've seen the Peruvian death twatters.
That's the first thing I associate with a Caribbean-themed bar in Manhattan.
And you of course, dealt with the sleep poison of the Hurgongi people. So you understand... That may well be what's happened. It's just exactly the kind of drop that happened previously. His lips are pale blue and his skin is ashen.
Oh, he's had it then.
Definitely time to cut in with a girl.
Ken's already sort of halfway across the dance floor.
Yeah, so I think the answer to your question is basically he's sliding through a crowd like a very slidey thing.
Oh, okay, so just using his kind of stealth.
More strict dex, really.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. You are a very...
Ricardo he has Montalban.
Got 18 dex, so you just know where the gaps are in the crowd. You can just sort of arrive at the front without it really being quite clear how you did it. Because that's what you're good at, and when you don't want people to... Are you a hide-in-shadow type character?
I do have hide and move silently.
Yeah, okay. So you just kind of...
I don't think he's particularly trying to in this situation, but...
No, I'm just... The sort of style you do is just... You just sort of... You're used to crowds and you're used to melding in them and you end up just moving through. Sydney and Penguin can see a waiter on the phone. I guess it would be that sort of phone in this era.
No, they've got the other type.
They had the other...
I mean, it could be that sort of phone, certainly, but the, pickup type was around in mid-30s easily.
Okay. Yeah. Well, let's do that because it distances it a bit from the 20s. So it is a pickup, and he's talking to someone and saying, no, get here now, right now.
I look across. Is there, can we see where, if it was a dart or something shot from the shadows, can we see anything in the shadows?
It's a damn good shot across a crowded dance floor, isn't it?
Well, might not have been aimed at him, though, of course.
Yes, perhaps it was a terrible shot. Okay, you're having a look to see if you can work out where it's come from. Mm-hmm. Sydney, what are you up to?
I'm rushing across to the band leader and telling him we need the lights up and to get everybody directed off the dance floor, please. They'll listen to you, sir. We've got a medical emergency, man on the floor.
Yeah, absolutely, sir. Thank you very much, sir.
You fellas can get the lights turned up, I think.
Oh, sure.
Then I shall attempt to batter my way through the fleeing crowd with my actual umbrella, which is a large actual umbrella.
Okay, so you're using brute force. Ken, you get to the man on the floor. The dame he's with, she is an absolute knockout. I mean, ignore the knockout on the floor. She could knock out the windows of this place with a smile.
Are you not going to do the whole Raymond Chandler bit?
There is a slow kind of pan up her curvaceous knees.
knees that go on forever.
It's a very good. There is that kind of slightly jazzy background as Ken.
I thought you just told the saxophonist to stop.
The saxophonist player, he's still there, yeah. Those guys don't get much of a chance for a solo in this era.
This is Estella who could melt a Jake's heart. I can't pull her. That kind of, she's, yeah. And she is standing over the man.
Quip aside, I mean, my main concern is for her rather than the guy.
Okay.
Is she all right? Is anybody trying to attack her using this guy as a distraction? That kind of thing.
Okay, so you're looking around.
Is she
all
right? Is
other.
He dead?
So you're kind of approaching a bit in a non-threatening way, checking other lines of attack. A glance at him. Let's have an int check for the gumshoe. So this, let's do a roll.
So this is not a prime, so that makes it an 18 target.
You need an 18.
Okay, and I have a plus one.
But just a straight 18.
And I roll a 3, so that will be a no.
Okay, you're not sure, you're not a medical guy, you don't know what sort of state he's in. But
I have a lot of medical experience, mostly, yep, he's dead.
Mostly inflicting damage.
I mean, you're not generally sure whether he is dead or not.
Cause of death, well, it was probably when his plane crashed into the ground after I shot it.
So you're looking around for any sign of anything, which is kind of what the penguin is doing as well. It probably would be an int check for you as well. This is sort of a tactical kind of working out where would be the best attack, line of attack, and working out the way you fell. So probably int, unless you've got some other thing you think would be relevant there.
No, I think, however,
Trombonus is looking guilty and putting his instrument back together.
I've dropped something. Right, hang on.
It's going to be the clarinetist, really, isn't it?
I get a plus 2 on investigating things for this sort of thing, I think.
That's fine. Where'd you get that from?
From being a scientist.
Is it one of your traits?
Yeah, I'm just trying to find. I'm going to bounce around a little bit. Sorry.
It's all right. That's what
psionic. I have psionic senses.
Okay. This is more. I don't think that applies here.
So looking for things, my mind is drawn towards stuff.
Is that like, so, I'm just going to have a quick read of psionic senses.
Psionic senses. Psionic senses, also known as sixth sense and ESP, okay, they represent the psychic's ability to perceive the world around him in ways different than others. He can sense a few seconds into the future, thereby finding potential, can feel the presence of other psychically or magically active people, can sense taint in a place where atrocities have been committed.
Sense the taint.
This is just appropriate for the pyramid, really.
Yeah,
it's not
practice. In practice, this ability functions like various detects things
rather than knowing anything. You can
the GM might inform or get an odd feeling about something. Psychic senses can also lead a character to discover clues or important items with a successful wisdom check
that the GM really wants you to know. This is not, it's not really sensing things out. You're trying to work out what's happened from the way he's fallen. So yeah.
If this is a spotty type thing or a thingy thing, should this not be wisdom rather than?
No, because it is not. There is something I'm missing here. This is like, how did this attack happen? What sort of angle did it come from?
I'll never know because that
it's disappeared onto
has
them.
Just disappeared.
Would someone like to roll for
detect dice? Sadly, not one of your abilities. Do you really want me to roll for you, Mark?
No, Christ, no. Hang on a minute, John. Just bear with me a second. I'm only going to go through a wall, you know, to find this. Oh, there we are. Right, okay. That's fine.
I can't believe you've only got one. Yeah, so that seems very unlikely.
I am surprised.
So there is a thing about Outgunned. It is entirely a player-facing system. So, yeah. On your turn, you'd roll to shoot the bad guys or whatever. On their turn, you roll to not be shot by them. So I suspect you're doubly screwed, but, you know, at least it's a different die roll you're
trying for. I like rolling dice.
If it's an int check, I rolled 15.
Yes.
And I have a plus one, so...
It's not a prime stat.
But it's not a prime stat, no.
Okay, you get... It's not a terrible... It's a pretty good roll, in fact. It's come from one side of the room,
we've only got one prime stat, haven't we?
Three.
No, you should have three.
Ah, okay.
One prime that you pick, and then two... Well, you get to pick
It depends
three.
On the class. Some of them say this is your stat, some of them say one of these two.
Okay, so one of mine is wisdom. By definition, because I'm sort of thing. I'll take charisma as my other one. I would take intelligence, but I won't because obviously that would then make this role possible.
Yeah, well, you can. If it fits your character, that's fine, but you're stuck with it if you pick it.
It's either int or dex, you see. So I'm thinking dex might be another
dex
good
probably
one.
Makes... Well, I don't know. It's up to you.
Dex for the character anyway, if you think about
okay.
it.
Okay, so you get an idea. It must have come from this side of the room. This side of the room is where the waiters come in and out of the cooking room, the kitchen, as some call it. It's also the door to the green room or what it, you know, the dressing rooms for the acts. And it's also that side of the room that the stage is on.
Okay, so I will go over to that area and see if I can use my strange psychic ability to spot anything amiss.
Okay. Sydney, you are trying to batter your way through the crowd. Not beat people to death or anything, I'm assuming.
No. I am British.
Just sort of affably and eccentrically making your way through to the...
Yeah, I say terribly sorry. Do apologise. Oh, is that your knee, sir? I'm very, very sorry indeed. Oh, and again.
So you will arrive...
The ferrule is quite sharp, isn't it?
At the centre. I mean, there are a few... A lot of people are still getting off the floor. And the compere, the band leader, is now announced. Everyone clear the dance floor, please. There's been murder on the dance floor.
No, I don't think they'd be that crass.
Don't rush. No one's going to be harmed by the huge bomb that's going to explode.
The guy's already dead. There's no rush.
No, he's just saying, clear the dance floor, please. The police will be here momentarily.
The dad's force scatters.
Old habits die hard. They're all
that was the code phrase we needed.
I might remind you, it's 1935, not 1932.
I know, but old habits die hard.
Yeah, but everybody here is going to be a gangster or something, aren't they? And so, you never know until they turn up if they're the guys you've paid off.
Ken, you are looking around. The girl is sort of sinking to her knees at this point, which is making her easier to protect. You scan the room. The place is clearing. You can't see anyone obvious around that seems to be threat. Everyone looks as they should. The musicians are packing up and clearing out. The people on, there's some kind of gawkers kind of peering over at the chap on the floor, but no one seems to be making any threatening moves or anything. But you're ready to act if you do see any. Sydney, you arrive at the scene
don't
of the crime.
Whatever you did, I'm sure you got a reason for it.
There's a little kind of sax solo
I
in the
there. Ah, Ken! Oh, and then I saw her. What a dame. A big, bountiful babe in the region of 482338. It's one hell of a region.
You, for some reason, you don't get the slow pan up the knees that that Ken got. But.
Whiskey wow wow, I breathed. She was dressed as Biffo the Bear. That kind of outfit, she could get rolled at night. And I don't mean on a craps table.
Unfortunately, you're not the gumshoe. You are the...
No, it is a shame, isn't it?
your eyes
Listen, I fought my way up from the east side New... No, actually, I didn't find my way up from east side New York. I think it was not even the east side of London. No, sorry, do carry on.
Getting
distracted.
Let's have an intelligence roll for Sydney as you arrive and quickly inhale the scene.
Now, I've forgotten what the target is for prime abilities.
12.
Intelligence is one of my prime.
So 12.
Okay, so I'm rolling a plus 3 there. And I've rolled a 20.
Wow, okay.
So we're off to quite a good start.
Wow, okay. At a glance, he's dead. Absolutely dead. In fact, he's already stiffening, which is very weird. Like rigor mortis. I mean, you can just the way you can see that the blood is already pooling in the back of his body, but his limbs are already kind of standing out. So in fact, is he trembling a little bit? Maybe that's normal.
I'll pull out my magnifying glass and have a look at the wound on his neck.
There is indeed a thin wooden dart poking from it.
Oh, right.
The neck wound is surrounded by an ugly black bruise. And at that point, the cops enter the place. Clear out, everybody, clear out! And there's three cops, all with you know, hats. They're wearing clothes, the cop clothes. It's not a strip.
They're not strippograms who are caught at an unfortunate moment before they'd put their uniforms back on.
Is perhaps searching for the term uniforms?
Thank you. Thank you. They're wearing uniform. They proceed
cop
towards the dance floor.
We'll accept cop clothes.
Clear the dance floor, please. Clear the dance floor. And they are addressing Ken and Sydney as they approach.
Yes, indeed. I'm very Amanda. Quickly, a small envelope out of my pocket. I'm going to get that... wooden sliver, pinch it between the paper, pull it out, drop it into the envelope and slide it into my pocket as I reach for my pipe. What's that? Sorry?
Just one second. You may have fucked me in the arse there. But that's fine.
I'm going to go out on a limb and I feel that John is going to say no, he hasn't.
I mean, that's not my intention. Perhaps I miscommunicated.
Okay, now you... Let's have a... you're trying to do this pretty stealthily. Let's have a dex roll.
Okay.
Or some other...
With a deadly poison.
Yes. Yeah.
You know that 20?
Okay.
You just rolled
reverse it.
You know... You know that karma is regarded, generally speaking, as a bitch. So okay. I've rolled a one.
Okay.
And even though my dex is in fact quite good and a prime, I don't think that's going to be enough.
No.
So you, it's kind of like, oh, of course, sir. And you lean down to sort of grab the thing out of his neck. It's stuck in a bit more than you're expecting, so you... and it becomes increasingly obvious that you've got your hand
hooked his larynx.
back away now, sir. Put that down. Lift your hands up, please.
Oh, just a moment. I put my foot on his shoulder.
he's ushered.
He's off. Fallen on my menu.
Other way, please, sir. Back up now, Ken. What are you doing? Do you have a lot of dealings with the New York cops? Will they know you?
Sadly, yes.
Okay. Holmes, what are you doing here?
Lestrade.
Might have known you'd be mixed up in this shenanigan.
Ah, yeah, Clancy. Who's paying you this week? I've got to remember to make nice to him.
Get out of the way. Come on. Time to get back. Everyone get back.
I step away casually carrying the lady with me.
She is in a bit of a state of shock, so she starts to come with you, and then the policeman puts her hand on the shoulder and says, gonna need to ask you a few questions, m'lady, ma'am, madam, miss.
Suddenly it's the Three Musketeers.
And he sort of...
I think you should be very careful with your men touching the... clearly effective poison there, Constable.
The Constable looks at you and then sort of leans over the... Not Constable.
He won't be a Constable because he's a New York cop.
The copper.
Officer's a good one, unless the he's officer. You know, a sergeant or a detective or something.
Looks
Hello,
at
Orifice.
You and then
Orifice
leans...
Orifice is always a good one when you're very, very...
Dibble! Leave Orifice alone. He looks at you... quizzically.
I'm a doctor, you understand.
And leans over the
point
corpse.
Of my umbrella.
At that point...
At which point...
A voice comes from over towards the one side. Is there anything I can do to help, gentlemen?
As people turn to look, the corpse jumps up from the floor... And bites the officer hard on the neck, simultaneously grabbing the dart from its neck and plunging it into his eye socket.
Did say watch out for that poison.
So we don't see the, you know, the full penetration. It's not that sort of show.
But oh, you were all for full penetration a minute ago.
we don't even have film ratings at this point. We just have the code or... prohibited. So.
Well, it's with 1980s tech. The cop staggers back and screams while the corpse jumps up, his head at a funny angle, drooling and rounds on, well, you lot.
The three of you who were stood there. Obviously.
Luckily,
not.
I have training in Batitsu. Which is largely forgotten these days, but...
The cop drops to the floor.
As indeed was at the time.
Bleeding from his neck and his eye.
It was basically jiu-jitsu with the serial numbers filed off.
And, importantly, a cane or brolly. Yes. This is where it comes in for Fossick. He's a little bit out of date, but he found the whole idea fascinating, since he does habitually carry an umbrella.
It does work, rather sadly.
It does work rather sadly, yes.
No, it's not as bad. It's nowhere near as bad as you think it's going to be. It actually is based on some things.
The cop falls to the floor. The other two who were, one was sort of facing Ken. The other one was talking to the rest of the crowd and the manager are taken, caught, hot-legged. You guys react faster because you are... the heroes of
cold-legged.
This, of the world. Cold, they call it cold-legged.
We are cold-legged.
Unlike the cops, we are not on Big Louie's payroll, which does It induces a certain Louise carefulness in a man.
Let's have initiative rolls, which is basically a D10, as I recall. It doesn't mention adding your dex. We can have dex added. Let's have dex added on to it.
Dex mod, presumably.
Dex mod, I mean, yeah, not your whole dex.
Five for me, then.
13.
Gosh, okay.
For God's sake.
Six.
Ken. Then Penguin. Then Sydney.
Not surprisingly, the short, middle-aged professor with an umbrella.
And let's see what kind of speed this guy... Oh, he's on 10. So it's Ken, then the dead dude.
I've just been outperformed by a dead man.
Yep.
For God's sake, it's like my honeymoon all over again.
And Ken, so you see the cop drop to the floor, gushing blood from his neck, holding both hands clamped over his eye, as the previously dead fellow.
Neck and eye. Yeah,
yes, so what happened is the dead guy jumped up, bit him on the throat and stabbed him in the eye.
Gotcha.
I mean, yeah, I've met Clancy before, and I can understand doing that.
Two in the head, you know he's dead. But as you're watching, in horror, the cop stiffens up. Still wearing clothes, and staggers to his feet, his head at a funny angle. It's your turn. What are you doing? There's now two dead chaps, previously dead chaps. One dead guy is looking at... it was you, Ken, and the cop behind... Sorry, you, Sydney, and the cop are also on the floor. Amanda is sort of being shielded by... Kind of both you and the cop, who are both going.
Her name's Amanda, by the way.
Yep.
Oh,
Amanda.
Fuck. Shit. I should have assigned those numbers to people. let me do that again. Okay. And the dead guy is lurching towards you, Ken. He's frothing at the mouth. He's yellow. He's dead. He's all messed up.
This is a social occasion, so I feel it's unlikely I would have the Tommy gun with me.
I'm afraid not. You would have had to check it in at the door, if nothing else. Unless you wanted to conceal it. It's a bit hard to...
Now, the pistol on the other hand.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've got something in your sock.
Yeah.
Sock garters.
So my intention is to draw my good old service pistol and shoot him in the head. Or other part, whatever part, yeah, gets in the way of the pistol, really.
Okay, let's do it. So that will be a ranged attack roll.
Right,
okay.
Now, what I did not find immediately obvious from the rules is what is my actual base to hit?
It's 10, your base to hit is 10 plus your level plus whatever stat you're using, I believe.
It's 10 plus your base
sorry,
to
it's
hit.
Not 10. It's a D20 plus your attribute... Plus your level.
No, it's not plus your level. It's plus it your is. Base to hit.
Oh, your level based to hit. You're right. You're right.
So,
you're right.
So, for example, for me, I get a plus zero at level one.
Yes. So you should have a base to hit for level one.
Yeah, I'm sure I should.
Well, a gumshoe.
If you filled it's on the shield under AC.
I spot the table.
If you haven't
there.
Filled it in, can't help you.
Yep. So, in fact, it is a plus one.
Let's look up the.
Yeah, you've
got a pistol bonus, don't you? I think. Or is that
well?
A
yes
level?
And no. I guess it's against specific. I do not get a precision shot because I'm not second level. I get a damage bonus if I'm fighting hooligans, thugs, or other gumshoes. I suspect it's not one of those things.
None of them, currently. Mm. He may have been a hooligan at one point. But now he's a bumshoe, not a gumshoe.
Yeah.
Now he's a cooligan, not a hooligan. What was the other one? Can I do a pump for that one?
So I reckon that's my plus one basic to hit from level, plus my plus three dex.
Yes, and you've got to hit his armour class.
Well, don't tell me what it is, because it'll only depress me, particularly since I just rolled a 7 total.
Okay. I should probably... oh, they're dead easy to hit. Okay. You pull out your gun, but you are a little shaken. You haven't dealt with walking corpses before. So you pop off a shot.
You're careful. Anyway.
Flying corpses, no, that's not a matter.
You're careful. I mean, there are other people around. You've got a kind of sense where everyone is. It wasn't a critical fail. You don't kill anyone. That would be a depressing start to the adventure. So you pop off
a shot. She died in my arms. And her last words were, "You bastard," but fortunately she didn't have much breath left, so nobody else heard them.
The guy...
Still extra to make sure.
It kind of, it's a close shot. It kind of pops through his epaulettes. He wouldn't be wearing epaulettes, would he? But, you know, where if he had epaulettes, you would have hit one.
Shoulder?
Collar, yeah, that's fine. And then he lurches towards you in a very...
Lapel.
Well,
lapel's more lapel. In his front, really, isn't he?
No, yeah, you've not... Anyway.
It becomes a collar by the time you get on there.
You hit his clothes, but not him. As he lurches towards you. So he kind of tries to slam you back against the stage. Now, the stage isn't... It's just sort of behind you. What it will do is sort of knock you onto your back if he manages to hit you. And maybe do a little damage along the way. So he... What's your armour class, Mr. Holmes? It's like 17, isn't it, I think?
It depends on exactly what's being caught in, but basically I've got a plus 7 costume and then plus 3 dex.
Okay. It's going to have to work quite hard to hit you, but he'll give it a go. It's not a terrible shot. And if you were naked, he would have hit you. But...
I'll remember to tell my next husband that.
He slams at you, so he lifts both hands in a very kind of Boris Karloff way and slams down. Boris Karloff's getting a lot of mention, doesn't he? Sorry. And he slams into you.
If he puts his hands together, it could be a Kirk chop.
But
if we're lucky, he'll throw himself feet first at you and fall to the floor.
But you are just far enough back that you can just kind of step out of the way. And he swings and misses you. Meanwhile, the cop has stood up and is lurching towards... Do you want high or low, Sydney?
Oh, low, I think.
Lurching towards the other cop. So it reaches across to him. He's still facing... He hasn't quite clocked what's happening. He's still facing the other way. The cop...
Look out!
It grabs him, pulls him back and sinks his very evenly spaced teeth into his fleshy neck piece. His kind of wattle, if you like. Let's try
this is the wattle, the symbol of our end. Land, you can stick it in a bottle, you can hold it in your hand.
Amen.
There is not. Rule 6. Okay, let's... The cop falls back onto the floor, blood gouting, well, kind of slightly too red blood, dribbling rather than gouting as it actually would, onto the floor as he lies on his back and considers...
Anyone else think we're going to be facing a rather increasing number of foes here?
Considers his life choices as he lies on his back, half devoured by a zombie. Well, not half devoured, maybe 2%. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It's an important 2% because it's got a carotid artery in it. So we then move on to the penguin, who has to nip to the toilet just before his go.
Does he? Okay.
I guess that's you, Tom.
Yeah, well, I might as well just, you know, take the advantage of the opportunity.
Well, this is it, you know.
Discuss Nick's descriptive choices about things.
Are you using your headphones, John?
Not as a microphone, no.
That's all right.
And it's far enough away that it'll shut off.
Okay, that's good. You know where I'm coming from. still one of my all-time favourite Greg Davis sketches, that, where he was a, oh god, it's his camera's off again. Jesus, that is scary. Where he was working as a teacher, well, he was a teacher,
mm-hmm.
and he was working with somebody who was deaf, with a couple of people who were deaf, and so he had a clip-on microphone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and he goes to the loo, and he's been away for the weekend, and he looks down and sees he's basically wearing his mother's underpants. Mm. And he's there going, "You total loser." And bits and pieces, and he goes that. And he goes back in, and the girl who is deaf is looking at him with wide-eyed horror, and he realises his mic is still on. So, yeah.
Okay, I didn't actually notice how the camera tracked into total darkness there.
Yeah, yes, that was quite scary.
Have we gone down the inside of the Tiki Mask or something?
I don't know. No, I think it just went off. but it's also gone. I do believe it's switched itself off because it's the connection's gone red.
Yeah.
So. Jitsi, which works in its own mysterious way.
Mm.
Speaking of mysterious,
there is a flash and a kind of a whiz as the penguin nips the toilet and comes back.
No, I turned that microphone off.
penguin.
I'm not that far from them because I'm only at the side.
You're not super far now.
Are either of, well, in fact, now the potentially three, let us call them zombies.
You're not supposed to say the word.
It's ridiculous.
Let us call them zombies for the sake of calling them something.
We have White Zombie by this point because that's 1926.
We've had Night of the Living Dead.
But
very different, though.
That's the thing. White Zombie is much more they are enslaved as opposed to they are dead.
Yeah, yeah.
But either way, are any of them looking in my direction?
No. One is slowly turned towards Sydney, blood on its chopples. And the other one is lurching towards Ken.
Okay, I will, in which case then, I will draw my gat.
Your gat? Is that an Australian term?
I will close as much as I can, and then I will attempt to shoot. And I think
gat as in Gatling gun?
No, gat as in...
Gat is a term for a gun, it's good. A slang...
It's a slang from around this sort of. Actually, it might be a slightly early. We might. It might be a bit anachronistic.
I think you're okay.
Okay, but either way, I'm
all right. So. That feels like open to misinterpretation. Get them. Okay, no, I meant no.
Take him
out.
All right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, if you people have not seen Lights of New York, you must see Lights of New York. That's
the best death scene I've seen for a long time. Alright, you're gonna get... Who are you getting?
I think I'm probably going to... did you say that there is some... So
I'm just going to look up the firing into melee rules, don't mind me.
So I'm thinking I might go for one of the policemen who is... At the moment, looking like he might be quite dead.
But at least they don't seem to be reaching for their weapons, which is good.
No, I'm reaching for a weapon. They're not reaching for the weapon. They're reaching for your neck.
No, that's what I'm saying. Rather than, you know, they're not sort of thinking like they would actually if they were just living policemen. They're not trying to just shoot us.
Yeah.
So what? Who are you shooting at?
I'm shooting at the policeman.
Okay, yes. Now he's okay. That's not quite. He's not in melee with anyone, so that's fine. He is in melee with the dead policeman.
Well, dying policeman, I feel.
Okay, if you miss by less than three, you're going to slug up the dead cop by three or less. Okay, but that's fine.
So I'm guessing this is a dex check.
It is an attack roll with your dex bonus and your base to hit.
Okay, so... So my dex bonus is plus one.
Yes.
My base to hit is zero.
Okay.
So I get this plus one. So,
and you're aiming at their armor class.
And I'm aiming at their armor class. So let me roll that. And I roll a 17. So that's a total of 18.
Your gun says, your gun spits death against the dead guy. All right, do some damage. What do you got? I don't know.
It's a pistol.
With my newly termed slang there. D2, I think.
D2?
I'm kidding. I don't know.
And my brother does a D10.
I have. Yes, probably are. I've got the amazing
Hang on, pulp equipment. GM firearms. It'll be a D10 or a D8. Be a D10. Can't see me using a brown. Well, I could be using a Browning. Mind you, that's a 0.32.
I think a D10 seems appropriate.
Yeah. So let me roll. 6 points of damage.
Okay, so it the bullet hits him square in the shoulder, a bit kind of close to the central body mass as well, bleeding as he should be, but it's bleeding a bit slower than you would expect,
and the blood is dark.
But it does. It definitely does some damage as it kind of lurches and spins towards you. Sydney.
Yes. Who am I facing then? It's the
So no one's actually attacking
guy,
you necessarily. So there's the unknown dead guy is lurching towards Ken on the stage.
Yes.
The cop that got back up attacked the other cop, dropped him to the floor, and then got shot in the shoulder, and has sort of spun, not so much turned to face as been spun to face Penguin. So no one is facing you directly.
So he's turned away from me.
Yes, they're both facing away from you.
Okay, then I think I will adopt the correct position and lunge, thrusting the ferrule of my... furled umbrella into the base of the fellow's spine.
Yeah,
perfect.
The back or the back of his neck or the back of his kind of bum?
No. Well, the base of his spine would be down towards the pelvis.
Okay,
wouldn't
pelvic.
That be the,
pelvic
like the base of the
it
spine,
would. I'm just checking. I just wanted to make sure you're aiming at his bum.
It's like the top of the spine, isn't it?
No, the base of his spine is near his pelvis.
All right, well, I mean, you are the medical man, and as you've shown, you...
By his coccyx.
Knowledge of wattles and stuff. I'll let him in the back of the neck instead. That's more sensible now I come to think about it.
Well, I was just checking, because that would have made more sense.
So, base hit zero, I've got...
You get plus four, because he's facing away from you.
Does the fact that my dex is a prime make any difference in combat?
I don't think so.
No, but you should get...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay.
So we get a plus six to this, then. And I have rolled, assuming this is a d20, a 16, so that's 22.
You've definitely hit. You thud your brolly...
Damage.
...right into the back of his neck.
And that's an eight.
Okay, so... What you see, Penguin, is...
Have I just murdered a policeman?
Well, you cannot kill what does not live. So, Penguin, you see him turn to you and look at his eyes narrow in kind of bestial anger, and then his kind of chin's kind of Bruce Forsyth towards you.
And I'm just thinking, I can mesmerise this guy now. just basically.
I think he's a bit past that. And then he kind of coughs out a gout of black blood, and then just thuds straight to the floor, not moving.
And behind is a short, fat, Zorro-like character.
Back to Kent. The cops are still... Well, one cop's dead. The other cop is still kind of shocked. He's fumbling for his firearm.
There are three cops.
The third cop's a zombie and has just been killed. The other cop was killed by the zombie cop. Sorry. And the third cop was by the bar talking to the owner. He is fumbling with his gun on his crutch.
Donovan, you're a nightstick man. Guns are too complicated for you.
Says Ken. As he...
That's a way of calling for help.
What are you doing, Ken? This kind of thing is
going to blaze away at target number one, the one that's still moving.
Can we have a rate of fire for pistols?
Yes, I'm going to take three shots. I understand it, the second one is penalised by a recoil, the third one is penalised by twice recoil.
Correct.
So my first one is at plus four... Second one is at plus one. Third one is at minus two. I think that's how it works.
That was my understanding as well.
I can't believe that none of us decided our first combat move should be grapple.
So that will be a grapple,
a zombie,
15, a 12, and a 10.
That will be two hits with your pistol there.
Okay, so the damage will be. 7 and 11.
So the reason you hit with the third is because he's already fallen over flat on his back, dead. But you'd already sort of committed to the third shot. It just drops. The first shot stops it, the second shot drops it straight on its back.
The third shot opens a bottle of champagne.
He's delooped.
I was going to say you guys might want to think about the fate points, but we don't need them anymore. Your attention turns to the zombie that was killed, the cop that was killed by the second zombie, the zombie cop.
It's not good at the first time I've had to hold a gun on a cop.
It does not start to move. And already it's probably been longer than the first one did.
So, but the first one... was because of the was not only bitten, but it had a thing stuck in his eye.
Spot on. That is the difference. Mm. Nothing else.
I'm going to retrieve that, but carefully. It might still have traces of something.
Now you're close enough to snaffle it. The other cop is
out of the guy's eye, and it'll look like an olive on a cocktail stick.
The other cop
don't
is...
just start nibbling, you know.
absent-minded.
Now the thing is... they're terribly Moorish, aren't they?
Like Blair in The Thing, if you're dissecting a thing that you may think imitates other creatures and can, by a single cell, don't use the probe that you're poking it to tap your teeth while you're talking, you fucking idiot. Anyway.
Did I always have this many teeth?
More cops enter at this point. A few more. And you are...
Ah, hooligan. I think you've just been promoted, man.
Very nice. Right, it's all with the quips. I can't give you any fate points, but
I'm not fishing for them. I'm just. Yeah.
Keep
this
it up.
Is different. It's spontaneous. And
derailing any possible narrative tension.
I, as a friend of the mayor and more importantly the chief of police,
thought nobody knew who you were. Isn't the Penguin a secret identity?
No. Penfold White.
Pinocchio, what's he called? Is Penfold.
I see.
So you're not currently... Chief.
You didn't do like a quick change into the
penguin? No. I am.
I thought you'd waddled from the shadows and
I am playing in my nom de plume at the moment.
Who right. squawks where evil lurks?
Oh, come on.
I can only think of your character as Darkwing Duck.
look for images of us.
The flaps of the night.
If only he were that competent.
But, you know, look at pictures of a penguin's beaks open straight on. It's bloody terrifying.
It is terrifying.
True. It is true.
Yeah. Basically, it's barbs all the way.
Now, none of you are injured.
Now I'm thinking of Barbara Wins.
Amanda has already sort of disappeared out the door. Not that you know.
What?
Mate, I've decided, actually, I could have been like, no, not the girl. It was like Amanda. But it's too late now. Okay. But anyway.
Smooth.
So she's not, so in no way is Ken going to be able to go, would you like to fly with me?
She's
Mandy, fly me.
I thought when I was drawing my gun, the it came out of the holster a little easily, and that's when I realised that she wasn't hanging on my left arm anymore.
She has disappeared in the excitement. The cops take some statements from you and clear you out. They might want to talk to you later. They're very grateful for your assistance.
I will explain that it was all very strange. I will also, if during this time, see is there anything over on that far side where I was trying to look before everything kicked off.
I'm distracted by John's kind of portmanteau.
Sorry, I'm trying to switch it off again. I think it's re-engaged.
You do. Now things have settled down okay. And most of the place is cleared. Let's have a wisdom with your psychic senses check.
Mm-hmm. So this is my...
This is more of a psychic kind of secretion.
Okay, so I get +3 on this, and it is prime.
Yep.
I roll 13, so that's 16. And if I do get the +2, that's 18.
You get a sense of kind of hatred and strong hatred coming. It's kind of an oily residue in the air, but and it's faint, but it's coming roughly from the door to the kitchen.
Okay, so
the cook just hates it.
Okay, so there is something oily and hateful in the kitchen.
It's dissipating.
Come
it's
out, not, Ramsay.
It's don't not taste the mint sauce.
It's not inhuman, but someone had desire to hurt.
Evil intentions, that's a good way of putting it. Looking out of the kitchen.
Someone with darkness in their heart came out of that door.
Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men? The penguin, apparently.
The penguin lurks in the filet mignon. Yeah, so that's where the attack came from, but the scent is cooling. Oh. So you're welcome to look in there, but there's just...
I will have a look in. I will be talking to whoever the head detective is, obviously. Because it is 1930s. It is a film, you know. It's a 1930s film. Therefore, the man with all the money is obviously going to know all about detective work. as far as the police are concerned, and you know, we chat and we say, whatever it was, I think it looked like there was a dart or something, but it looks like it's been...
Doesn't seem to be there anymore.
Been lost in the melee. But I will say, it must have come from over here, and we have a look in, and, you know, we're looking around, and obviously I'm being my normal, rather suave, debonair self.
Thank you, Mr. a dick. Ben, we'll take it.
White, Mr. White.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, it just slipped out. Well, thank you, Mr. White.
I could actually say we greatly appreciated
your contributions to the Christmas
Penguin
White
fund. Dick, but that started to get a bit weird.
I wasn't going to say on the nose, but maybe maybe we'll just leave it. Okay. You slink back to your various hovels. Sydney, you...
I think the chaps were planning on coming over to my penthouse.
Penfold Manor?
My penthouse thing for a small soiree. That was the plan for after the club.
Yes, I kind of feeling that things have taken a different turn. I need to analyse this cocktail stick.
This is out. You are slowly ushered out of the.
Well, this is it. I mean, yeah, but surely your laboratory is in my building.
Well, I'll take my coat and my bowler as we're leaving. Yes, well, I suppose I've got enough to work with there. It's just so distracting. Sorry for rewiring the place last time, but
Well, no.
Who was that dame anyway? She looked familiar.
Well, the puffy-eyed girl.
Ken.
She did seem somewhat intimate with the initial corpse.
Yeah, but I feel he isn't really in the picture anymore, so...
But if you targeted for a reason, I should have perhaps looked for some identification or his wallet, but it feels like thievery,
Ken's got an eye for a dame. You do feel you've probably seen that face before.
But on a different girl.
That evening... Anything you're doing, Penfold is soireeing, solo soireeing?
No.
Is that what you're
no.
doing?
No, well, no. Penfold has invited... Well, the others always have a place to crash at my small skyscraper.
Oh, God, it's like Trump Tower,
Sydney's case
isn't
tonight,
it?
A place to use his science chemistry skill.
Very good. That's what Sydney's doing. We will come on to that, which is not part of the experiment.
And I was going to... Please don't do that, because it makes it all sticky. I was going to say that in the building that is the White Towers...
you live in a white tower?
You've got a giant...
Please don't call it White Towers. One letter away from being very uncomfortable. Do you have Birth of a Nation constantly playing?
I was genuinely thinking Shite Tower, but now I see where you're going. Yes,
yeah, you see. Yeah, I mean,
Deutschland über Arvis just into the future.
Deutschland über Arvis just gently just wafting over the speakers.
It's the fireworks that are continually released from the spire that are a bit distracting.
you guys didn't see that picture of why don't we put the Christmas lights in the palm trees?
Yes, it is.
It comes around every year.
And it is superb. It's every time you look at it and go, no, you really should have thought of this, shouldn't you?
Ken, are you doing anything special tonight, or are you retiring with Penfold?
I think have an easy night. Down a bottle or two of old overcoat.
Mm-hmm. You're not shaking down your leads or whatever it is dog owners do.
Sydney,
that's for the morning. I'll hit the streets tomorrow, sure. But
Sydney tonight, has a working lab in my building.
Sydney, science roll, please.
It's no idea how this
chemical
works.
Analysis, basically. It's your prime skill. So I guess it's a 12. And you roll your int plus your science. If you have a science-y background, you get plus 2, I think.
Is that what? Is that how it works? Because it just there's just a skill.
It's a background, isn't it? And I think that gives you plus
background two. Is scientist, and then I've got a KS of science physics.
Ooh, I think well, that's I knowledge think skill. Might be wrong. Both then. Well, let's say plus four. Save me looking it up too much.
Okay. Rolling on a d20, aren't I?
Yes. Mm-hmm. With a 12.
So, I rolled an 18. I get plus four for the sciencey stuff, you say?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then a plus three for my intelligence. So, 25.
Okay.
That's dangerously competent for me.
That is incredibly competent. You haven't encountered this chemical before, but you track something down in your textbook. This is some kind of scopolamine derivative.
Indeed.
But it has been somehow altered. You remember reading in your journal of chemical stuff that I was going to come up with something very clever then. Well, I didn't. So that's all I did. I didn't need to draw attention to that, though, did I?
Not
chemical
so much,
artification, that there have been some reports in Louisiana about a similar chemical which has been used in the context of some mysterious murders which were known at the time as the Voodoo Murders.
Voodoo?
You do.
Voodoo?
Mind you of the babe.
Yes, it may be some part of... now, of course, you are aware, being a wise man, that almost all voodoo is what? Benign and merely a mishmash of sort of African religions and Christianity. But there is a dark sect of black voodoo, which this chemical has been associated with.
Let's be careful about the implications of vocabulary choices here.
Dark. It's not
as we stand in white towers talking about the deprecations of black voodooists.
That is your discovery. As you, your ink blotted fingers look over your half moon spectacles and scribble notes.
That's circular.
A circular spectacles and you more, scribble notes.
More of your pince-nez type.
You know, Louisiana ? Voodoo murders ?
Well, obviously everyone will be asleep now, so I should let them know about this in the morning. Penfold, I say, bursting into your bedroom.
Oh, it is 6 a.m. Meanwhile, in the night. Well, I mean, that was the night. He's been burning the candle up his at both ends.
I will, obviously, have slipped into my strange meditative trance, which means that...
As has Ken.
It's funny, he does this a lot when he's out of bottle of gin.
Which means that I only need 4 hours sleep to make an 8 hour... to be as refreshed as though I've slept for 8 hours.
During your trance,
I remember when that used to happen.
Penguin. In your kind of astral... psychic body, are you the Penguin? Are you Penfold? What's your...
Ah, no, I am indeed. I do manifest as the Penguin.
So the penguin
is a half man, half aquatic bird. But the greater of it.
Any particular aquatic bird? And which half are the two questions I need to know?
Coffin.
Okay. Yeah, we cut away to a puffin bird. Squatting over its nest.
No, I am.
He appears as the puffin in the version for younger readers.
I appear as a sort of half man, half penguin.
There's no way of saying it, Mark.
And yet,
you've
somehow
really picked a difficult one here.
Mysterious.
It's a tricky wicket.
He always do it Flash Gordon style, where he would be basically a bare-chested muscular
penguin
head.
Indeed,
can,
yes.
Can we do that?
Or probably more like a penguin hat, with his face inexplicably just there.
The camera zooms in on the penguin as he vomits fish onto his young.
sorry, it took me a while to walk over here. I'm balancing this egg on my toes.
We zoom in on the penguin in his idealised form. And you're in your meditative trance, and there's a man in front of you, just appears from one blink to the second. Slender and gaunt.
Who are you, and how have you managed to breach my psychic defences?
He can't see you. In fact, he is feverishly poring over... In fact, he's sitting at some kind of... You can barely see because it's transparent, but he's sitting at
desk. It's a vision rather than a...
You rather than become an, aware an this is a vision rather than a visitation.
Okay.
He's poring over a collection of old yellowing books and he's scribbling furiously into a notebook. And as he scribbles, the notebook falls to the floor and he just picks up another notebook and starts scribbling on it. And that notebook is on like a stack of other notebooks. Your vision shifts, and you see the lady that was in the nightclub tossing and turning in her bed. In fact, it's the vision to save on extra, to save on extra camera work. It is the same vision that we saw at the start of the episode. Then we see the man. He is muttering in strange tongues. And as he writes, a peculiar kind of cloud, a whirling, in fact, you recognize it as a kind of a psychic rent into the astral plane. A vortex opens in the office. Papers blow everywhere.
If only I was there with my strange penguin powers.
In fact, in your vision, it's very hard to show on screen, but you... it's really undermining the horror of the scene. There's kind of reds and blues and greens and some other colours that you haven't quite seen before, but let's face it, are probably a kind of purplish orange kind of colour. A man steps through the psychic rent. He wears a head wrap and the robes of a nomad with a thick black beard. He's got no nose. That's something you notice.
No, never mind.
We were all going to go down the how does he smell route, weren't we? And then
Schlecht.
We thought, no, that might not necessarily be...
Roger and I have been doing very well not making jokes about psychic rent. Thank you very much.
I mean, it's the real tragedy is he wears glasses. It's very hard. Because not only has he got no nose, he's got no ears. That is the... what would you do? He doesn't wear glasses.
Pince-nez. He does if he gets a cold.
The pince-nez, but...
Imagine a mess.
He must have a... it kind of reminds you of, well, like a grinning skull. And he puts his hand on the man's shoulder and says in a kind of generic foreign accent, "It is time, Martin. The fire awaits." He's talking in some form of Arabic, but you understand this.
Oh, yes.
The two men step together and join, not in a gay way. They become as one. Not there'd be anything wrong with that. And then
in 1930s, there would be.
Well, there probably would. But that's not what happened.
Legally,
no. They step together and discuss classical music.
The Martin that is not Martin anymore, or not quite Martin, suddenly turns to the desk, grabs a couple of sheets of paper, and jumps out of the door. Sorry, I thought he jumped out of the window, but he doesn't. So
leaps out the door.
Yes. And you sort of emerge from your meditative trance just as Sydney runs through the door.
Ah, okay.
And says...
Oh, sorry, I thought you were going to move on to something else then. Yes. Louisiana voodoo murders.
Ah.
So we should probably go there.
Okay, I have had somewhat of a vision. My strange powers. Obviously, I intercepted the evil sent. Oh, not sent. What the hell's the proper word?
Tulpa?
Yeah, let's go for that. Of the killer. He is a man possessed, it would seem.
Sorry, are you suggesting he's literally possessed by some sort of supernatural entity, or do you mean a man obsessed in a frenzy, focused? That sort of thing.
Well, he was obsessed in a frenzy of focus.
Excellent, right?
And then it did appear that something possessed.
I love the clarification. It reminds me of that Mitchell and Webb sketch I told Roger about, where it's like a supervillain and he's saying, I think something should happen to him. And one of the henchmen says, boss, look, we talked about this. You need to be specific, because last time you said it would be a shame if an accident happened to him. And we agreed, and no accident happened, and you seemed very annoyed. And what we were doing was just waiting to see if there was an accident. You need to tell us exactly what happened. Anyway.
Yeah. Continue. No, I do like that, yeah. So, do you want us to cause him an accident or not? Yes or no?
Do you mean kill him? Yes.
In a very importantly legally deniable way.
There was actually a Hale and Pace sketch with James Bond that sort of ran along those lines.
Yeah.
Incredibly.
Hale and Pace.
Yeah, it probably wasn't funny, but he may have been. I don't know. Anyway.
Were they the ones who had the obsession about Utoxeter sports club?
Maybe. Yeah, they did. They had some. I remember Barry Cryer talking about it. He was saying, you know, in any comedy duo, there's kind of one lazy one and one workaholic. In Hale and Pace, they were both the lazy ones.
Yep.
But they were happy.
Complete and utter arses. Sorry, they played our uni.
Oh, did they? Were they awful?
Unfortunately, I was in the stagecom stuff, so I had to actually deal with the buggers.
Well, there you go.
Whereas Sean
never,
has
never
met
meet your heroes,
Scott Bakula.
And to think that they were in Doctor Who.
Yeah.
God, they were, weren't they?
They were. In Perivale.
Yeah.
Okay, well,
drama.
I believe that the young lady's husband.
Is there anyone here with a name beginning with D?
Name was Martin.
Martin, yes, that's the one.
He did appear very driven. So,
you think he's the killer?
He might have been.
Was he in Louisiana, by any chance?
No, it felt far more local. It felt far more like New York itself. But the two, of course, could easily be. If there is a supernatural bent to this,
supernatural bent, you say, but I have a scientific connection here, and the thing is, this man, you haven't described him as a scientist. So perhaps somebody was supplying him with this, I must say, very potent venom.
Meanwhile, we cut to Ken. Where are you, Ken?
Did you spend under his desk.
Did you spend the night at the Penguins? Have you gone back to your office?
The Penguins is three blocks from the nightclub, or your office, which is 12 to 15.
In a somewhat cheaper part of town.
Where there's always a siren out, police siren outside, yeah. Even though when you walk out the door, you can't hear it.
And the flashing neon sign provides the light all night.
Yeah.
From even the hotel, though there's no neon sign there outside. Either. Where are you, Ken? Are you awaking?
Could well have slept over.
Okay.
As I see it, maybe I did a little bit of Penfold, was it? Has the social directories and things like that. So very much the
who's who of New York.
Yeah.
And possibly even
Sydney's more than what's what.
He might even have some microfiche of, say, I don't know, the last
the mayor's
20, 30 years of newspapers.
Yeah, that would be ridiculous.
He's not that sort of.
who could possibly ever need that much information? I mean, really.
Frame a guy with much less than that.
I'm thinking much more simply. Try to work out. Maybe she said her name. Just try to work who this was. Maybe she appears in the society pages, stuff like that. But this is not a deep research dive. This is half an hour or so before going to bed.
Hmm. Okay.
You wake up stinking of cheap booze with a piece of paper that says the smell of petroleum prevails throughout.
Not again.
You figure maybe some of the files in your office may help you out, just because you know your way around your filing system. You can head there that night or just head there in the morning.
Head there in the morning, but I'll pick up the morning paper as well, because that may well have a name or two.
Shocking murder in a nightclub.
Says the guy selling you the paper.
Presumably from your regular guy you buy a paper from, next to the fella you get your shoes shined by.
The fella I get my shoes shined by, who quite possibly actually solves all my cases for me.
Roll my ears.
Got a tough one here, Johnny.
You get back
right,
to your...
First of all, you open the... the stomach, then don't cut too deep.
get to the office, tune in the radio to K plot.
In your office, there is a pair of legs, and they go all the way up to a sweet dame who is sitting in the waiting room outside your. Presumably, you have like Kenneth Hobbs' dick. Under the
eye. I showed you the thing earlier. It's the glass door with Hobbes and Calvin printed on it.
Oh, lovely. Mm. Oh, lovely.
The waiting room, however, is the top of the stairs.
No. As I see it, though, I've got the outer office with the long-suffering secretary, whom I really ought to pay one of these months, and the inner office, which is my actual working space.
Mr. Hobbs, there's someone here for you, Mr. Hobbs. She wouldn't take no for an answer. She's waiting in there.
Cheers, Gladys. I don't pay you enough.
You don't pay me ever, you cheap bum.
It's your... You just keep...
Bums tonight. Next case for sure.
Oh, sure. She said, and as Ken goes into his office, she gazes at him like... Amanda is in your office, very dressed up, very posh. She looks up at you. Mr. Hobbs, I hear you're the best dick in town.
but also I can solve your cases for you.
Am I confused on the name? Is it Hobbs or Holmes?
Hobbs.
Hobbs, you've put Ken Holmes here, which is on your screen.
Because you referred to him as Mr. Holmes earlier.
I did, because I read Holmes, but I got distracted.
Okay, I'll change that then.
It could be Ken Height.
Isn't Ken Holmes, wasn't he the chef?
I'm going to have to look up if Ken Holmes...
No, that's Ken Holm.
That's Ken Holm. No, there is no famous Ken Holmes. It's not an insight into... sorry, to any Ken Holmes who think they're famous. I do apologise.
Yeah, who may be listening.
This is why you're not famous.
What, listening to us?
Yeah, exactly. Mr. Hobbs.
Yeah, get out there and get a job that'll make you famous, you bum.
You must have a better life than this.
She stands up and shakes your hand. My name is Amanda Seymour. Now it comes back to you. Amanda Seymour. It's the Seymours. They live in a posh estate 25 minutes south of the Shitty.
A Shitty?
Out in Long Island Sound, but...
Just, all right, 25 minutes east of in the, you know, the posh out of town bit that isn't underwater. This is 1935, where Long Island Sound hadn't been invented. So. I wanted to see you, Mr. Hobbs. Was that you last night?
It was, ma'am. Gather you may have had a little problem or two. You want to tell me about it?
My brother died last night. And my husband disappeared.
I won't comment on how I shot her brother three times in the face, and that may have contributed to his dying. I mean, that was the second time, so.
It was what he
wanted. He was fine when I left him.
She breaks down into tears. My husband's gone missing. I think I'm not the only person looking for him. I think when they killed John, they were aiming for me. John's my brother, by the way.
Well, and by John, I mean Jake. Right.
Oh, okay, very John. okay. The police say they're looking into where he's gone, but I don't think they're taking it seriously. I saw you last night. I didn't see you shooting my brother in the face. But I saw you. If you can help find my husband, I'll be very grateful. Not... Okay. Financially.
With an expression not visible to her, which, did he but know it, is much the same as the expression that Gladys outside you had.
I can give you anything information you need. Just please help find my husband.
So, who is your husband? What does he do?
Martin Seymour. He is a... he's a banker. This is out of character so much now. He's a banker, but she explains he has a passion for amateur archaeology and ancient religions. She doesn't... I don't know anything about that stuff.
She prefers a good blaster.
But recently he'd been...
In your hokey religion.
Obsessive, talking about a key. I thought he had a box he was trying to unlock in his office, but he was talking something about the secrets. He'd found the key to the secrets. I tried to tell him to take a break. I booked a holiday to Long Island or somewhere nearby that might be nice to go to. Yes, yes. He went crazy. He said I was working for them. And he said if I ever interfered again, he'd kill me. He looked crazy. I'd never seen him look like that before. Before. Now I'm a posh New Yorker, so I don't do that.
There's a shortage of perfect legs in this world, ma'am. It'd be a shame to waste yours.
I'm sorry. maybe you could come look over his study. You can bring.
Well, suddenly, let me just contact a couple of my research colleagues.
Sure. She flips you a CAD. Don't.
She's not from Boston.
Wow. Did you hear the snigger from across the way where my American partner feels that was New York? Yeah. Sean.
This is the thing. You've got a bloody voice coach, for heaven's sake.
Well, maybe she's from Boston. So did you ever think of that? No, not Shauna. No. Amanda might be from Boston. She hands
temporarily,
you a,
I imagine.
She hands you a card, and it has
a card.
Not a card.
Make a card, any card.
See, you're making it sound like Derek Acheron here. she hands over a card with her address on it, which is indeed 25 minutes in a suitable direction.
I guess it's a lot less by also Jaro.
Well, that is true. But
the bugger is finding landing space, but still.
No, with an auto gyro, it's easy.
And she has
got
the...
You can't just land on any roof, you know. Or the middle of the road.
But practically any road, driveway, reasonably smooth garden.
New York, so many cables hanging around at this time.
Oh, that's what makes it fun.
So our episode ends with Hobbs, Ken returning to... the Penguin's home with the business card suggesting.
Well, I'll give him
it.
A call first, but yes.
Is it the Penguin's home or is it the Penguin's hob?
He has a hob in his home. Well, he has two now. As you conflate your contents. Right, well, we'll leave it at that point. There we are.
thank you very much. That was... that was marginally less more confusing. I don't know.
You're so confused.
No, that was very good. Thanks.
Well done. Thank you for indulging my 30s nonsense. And we'll pick it up again soon.
No, it's really good. It's
lovely.
Seems good. I mean, like I say, I'm
still not sure about the system.
It's pretty straightforward, though. Isn't
it is straightforward.
Apart from the fact we don't know the different bits of it yet, but we'll get there.
Yeah, I suppose I'm at least comfortable with the D20 system, but whether it's suitable for this kind of, I don't know.
I think I feel it's.
I mean, I'm going to keep making bad quips, whether or not you give me points for them. So.
Very good.
It's not fate, after all.
All right. Well, thank you, chaps.
Thank you all. Thanks, Nick.
Realign for Traveller next time.
See you all
next
soon.
Year.
Yeah.
Shit.
Oh.
Good point.
God,
is it?
Really?
Yeah. Is it Tuesday? Yeah. I don't know why that was my response.
Yes, tomorrow is New Year's Eve at the time of recording.
Thank you. That was the question. All right. See you all next year.
Same time, same Penguin Dick.
Oh, I might not be around next Tuesday.
Okay, we'll sort of.
Oh, no. We won't have access to your white tower.
Please don't complete your white
tower. See ya.
Bye.
Night.